The text for our sermon for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's been a couple advantages to being away for the last few months. First and foremost, obviously, is the education and the experience that I'm gaining as a student at the seminary in Fort Wayne. The exposure to the different professors, to their styles of teaching, has in some cases been very enlightening. There are those that I heard would be tough, and they were. Many of you know what a struggle it was for me to get to Greek, but with God's help, I did. Amy and I have also made many new friends while at the seminary, which will hold a special place in our heart in the coming years. And in some ways, it seems like we've been at Fort Wayne for a long time, and in others, it seems like we just got there. But for all practical purposes, I am already halfway through the program of study, and we will be moving back here in just a few, namely 6 short months. And as much as seminary has been enlightening, we both are looking forward to the day when the U-Haul heads south. I believe the second advantage to being away for a couple months is the impact the completed remodel has had on both of us. Personally, observing the progress weekly would have been nice, and we did get to see the pics on Facebook, which were a big help. But there is nothing quite like seeing a finished product in person, something old transformed into something new. It made quite an impression both on Amy and myself. I don't believe I've used the word fantastic so many times before in one day ever. And it is truly fantastic. For all those involved, whether directly or indirectly, I thank you for your contributions and your efforts towards this great result. The third realization I have come to is how much I miss being intimately involved in worship services. Being preoccupied with classes in my own little world, I found it hard to believe that next Sunday, the 27th, is the start of Advent season already. Now, Pastor Wink has always shouldered the responsibilities for planning worship, but even leading liturgy kept me plugged in, so to speak, in how the seasons progress. In my liturgics class recently, we talked about the church year and how the old church year passes away, and next Sunday, the new church year begins, and the season of Advent begins also. The old story of Christ coming 2,000 plus years ago is made new as we prepare for the birth of our King yet again. Advent also reminds us that Christ is coming again, not as the babe in the manger, but as the triumphant King in all his glory to judge the nations. After Christmas, the new year reintroduces the old story of Christ's life and death and makes it new again, as we follow him through the seasons of Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and the Ascension. His promise to us at the end of Matthew, the promise that he will be with us always to the end of the age, reminds us that he is always near us as we travel through the season of Pentecost until we meet anew again about this time next year. Thinking about school, the remodel, and the last Sunday of the church year brought to mind the text that I chose for the sermon, but they weren't the defining factor. Something much more important happened here today. Something happened that was much more enlightening, more fantastic, and took much more planning than anything I have mentioned yet. Chase Eli Martin was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit earlier this morning. Chase's baptism, that I don't miss at all. Chase's baptism is a visible reminder of our theme verse for today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Enlightening, fantastic, or planning may not be the words that are commonly used to think about or when thinking about or discussing baptism. Well, sure, there is some planning to do when and what day, what the little one is going to wear, what mom and dad are going to wear, what granny's going to wear, pictures, how much, and where the celebration is going to be held, and the like. And of course, pastors have a little planning to do also. But this planning only occurs days or even weeks before the event. But I think the real question is this: how long has God been planning for this event? The answer is, since the beginning of time. God has been preparing for this event since before creation even existed. God knew that mankind, that Chase, would need a Savior. So he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be that Savior. Jesus became flesh, incarnate of the Virgin Mary, to save us from ourselves. That babe in the manger rescues us from sin, death, and the devil. It's hard to picture Christ, the redemption of all mankind, swaddled in the arms of his mother, much like Chase loves to be held by Brandy. But he was, and he grew, and lived a perfect, sinless life, and was put to death and rose again so Chase, myself, and all of us could live. That was the plan from the beginning, to make us a new creation in Christ through faith and baptism. The old has passed away. Behold, a new creation. It's hard to think of Chase or any cute little baby as old. It's hard to think of a cute, cuddly baby as a sinner. And you're right. Chase doesn't look old or ugly, but he was old and ugly on the inside. Everyone born of the flesh inherits the curse of original sin from our original parents, Adam and Eve. This curse of original sin, called the old Adam, is complete spiritual corruption. Edward Kohler, in his book, A Summary of Christian Doctrine, describes it in this way. Since the fall of Adam, all men begotten in a natural way are born with sin, that is, without fear of God, without trust in God, with concupiscence. And this disease or vice of origin is truly sin, even now, condemning and bringing eternal wrath upon those not born again through baptism and the Holy Ghost. The new creation given to us through faith and baptism doesn't eliminate original sin, but removes the guilt and the punishment associated with it. Brandy and Hunter, you probably will find out, if you haven't already, that Chase will want to do bad things. The temptation to sin will always be there for Chase as it is for us. And as the battle wages between the old Adam, our old creation, and the new Adam, our new creation, we may and will at times fail to let the new Adam rule our hearts and our lives. But as baptized believers, we can take comfort in that God planned for our redemption through his Son. His Son took God's wrath and condemnation upon himself, so we don't have to. Isn't that fantastic news for Chase, for all of us? At the greatest personal expense, God died for us, so we may live with him in heaven for eternity. In baptism, we are joined in his death. We too are on that cross that Good Friday. We too are in the tomb. And if Jesus would have stayed in the tomb, we would have also. And everything would have been for nothing. But the fantastic news is that Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. On that beautiful Sunday morning, the woman arrived to find the tomb empty. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In baptism, we join with Christ in his death and resurrection. Our sins are forgiven, faith is bestowed, and we receive the promise of eternal life. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The good news of our baptism is also enlightening. Enlightening. What does that mean exactly? Merriam-Webster defines enlightenment as to furnish knowledge to or instruct. I think we may also think of it as shedding light on something. And I think baptism does just that. It sheds light on how bad our sinfulness is and how much God loves us. Our epistle reading for today from Colossians chapter 1 mentions just that, starting at verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This deliverance from darkness that Paul talks about is the light of baptism, through which we become children in God's kingdom, and where we find redemption in the forgiveness of sins. The candle that we light at the beginning of the baptismal service is a sign of our victory over death through Christ our Lord, not only in signifying his glory, but also reminding each Christian to be prepared to meet him on the last day. And as we wait and watch, as we witness a baby being baptized, it also dawns on us the importance of our own baptism, how we too were once objects of God's wrath over sin, even as we cooed and made silly faces in our mother's arms. But all too soon, our coos and silly faces turned to cries of anger and faces set on rebellion. Those who deny the need for infant baptism deny the reality that we all see and experience, the terrible twos, the troublesome threes, the fearsome fours, and you really could go on and on. I'm sure most parents would deny teaching their children to behave badly. So you have to ask yourself this: where does the bad behavior come from? I believe this untaught bad behavior reveals the existence of original sin inherited at conception. Making the connection between that, the natural rebellion of a child and original sin, puts the spotlight on mankind's need for a Savior that comes to us through the water and the Word. And for those of us who are older, this desire to sin, this old Adam, needs to be drowned in the waters of baptism every day, as we remember that we were and are delivered from death into a new life. Through the water and the Word, we cling to Christ, who saves us from the guilt and punishment we deserve and enables us to live in a new way. Having the baptismal font visible in the front of the church is a constant reminder that even though that sinful and evil desire still wages war inside of us and sometimes even wins, we no longer live in darkness, but live in the light of baptism as children of an awesome God. The font also illuminates our mission here at Grace, bringing people to Christ by bringing Christ to people. Our Lord tells us in the last verses of Matthew that we are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that he has commanded. And in no small way, today we did just that. We were the tools through which God fulfilled his plan for Chase. This morning, the light of God's love pierced the darkness as Chase Eli Martin became a child of God and the newest member of Grace Lutheran Church through the waters of baptism. Chase is a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now that is a fantastic remodel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on your baptism through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.